Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Let's do this. 80-80, look who's 80. That's right, guys. It's the Broad Street Bully Podcast, episode 80 here. Fresh off a not-so-relaxing weekend in Wildwood, we are back here to talk to you some Flyers hockey. It's trade deadline day in the NHL. Plenty of things have happened, some with the Flyers, most not with the Flyers, and we have a lot to do. Hi, it's Drew Papsky here. We got Jeff D. Angelis here, and we got Doyle here. And he, oh, fuck, he's the one with the hat. I got to put my hat on. Where's my hat?
You sound like you're already tired.
Yeah, what's with the...
I did a lot of
ridiculous
steroids
exhaling.
This. Where's my hat? What'd you guys do with it?
I don't know.
Did the penguin tell you to do this?
You sound like Christopher Reeve.
Is your stupid Eagles hat?
Shut up with my nice Eagles hat. Why is it a stupid Eagles hat, Doyle? You like the Eagles.
I do, but it's not a Flyers hat, so...
My Flyers hat has sweat stains in it from months of landscaping with it.
Yeah, right, but everything... Like we talked about before,
I am sure your Eagles hat has sweat stains in it,
too.
It
does not. I only wear it for radio purposes, and I sweat my minimalist...
You sweat all the time.
It does not. Shut up. You know it doesn't...
I'm Jesse Ventura.
What'd you guys do with my hat? It was here.
I didn't touch your hat.
Can you stop ruining the show for your stupid hat?
I'm a radio guy, Jeff. I know hats.
Are you going to pause this to look for your stupid hat?
No, I'm going to get up and look for it.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, Doyle.
Well.
How have you been since we last were together?
I've been pretty good.
Oh, look, you found it.
We have a lot of things to go over
today. It was under
today.
Your hoodie, you colluding piece of shit.
Fake news.
No, it's real news.
Lies.
It's my news hat.
Sex lies.
Actually, it's an old one.
What about your old's hat?
Oh, back to you.
What about your old?
So I guess So we had a great weekend over in a Wildwood. By weekend,
yeah,
I mean,
we did.
I think I was there less than 24 hours, and I drank my fair share of those hours.
What would you say was the highlight of the weekend?
I think we all know. Everyone say it on three. One, two, three.
Sean from Grace Ferry.
Yes. Sean from Grace Ferry. I don't know if the show did him justice. So I listened to a couple clips of it, and I was like putting it together and making sure the sound was okay. Because I'm not used to recording with that kind of equipment.
Right. There, you have slap back from the speakers.
Yeah, a little bit. So we were like, all right, I'll listen a little bit. But Sean from Grace Ferry is a national treasure, or at least he's a tri-state area treasure.
My favorite was that we were still not 100% sure if we were going to curse.
Yeah.
Or if we were going to curse, we were going to go all in.
We were dabbing around it.
Yeah, we were artfully adding it to the conversation, but he just right out of the gates.
Yeah.
With the F word.
Yeah, so if you guys have never listened before, haven't been paying attention lately, we did a live show in Wildwood at Westie's Irish Pub before the Flyers Stadium Series game versus the Penguins. Got drunk with a lot of locals or not-so-locals. They're all South Philly, Northeast Philly, Italian, Irish, Polish people getting hammered. There was 21st birthday there. The Polar Bear Plunge was earlier that day. And it was just, it was magical. Honestly, it went better than I thought it was going to. Or went as well as I thought it was going to, I should say.
I'm surprised that we didn't have any technical difficulties besides Periscope taking a shit.
Baby, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. I'm a radio guy. But no, Periscope, I do apologize. I saw Leonard jump in on Periscope and a couple other people, and I do apologize. That cut out because of we were on the Wi-Fi there, and my Poppy's data was running out, so I couldn't really go on the Periscope for that long.
Poppy's data.
So, yeah.
I thought you were saying that you had a date.
No, I did not have a date. I would have liked one, but I did not have one.
Data from the Goonies, of course.
Oh, the again? That's why I said booty traps.
No, I thought you were talking about Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. That could have worked, too.
That's why I said booby traps.
Why'd you say it in a Billy Madison voice? Crazy Carl, so good to see you. All right, we've done those already. So, yeah, we had a great time there. And we were kind of just on a little mini stage where bands play. But it was we set up during lunch hour. It was kind of lunch, late lunch, early dinner hour.
Yeah.
People were just like, oh, you guys playing music? So
everybody was so sour.
The great hostess was like, the old lady was like, oh, I love you guys. You can play me some Motown. I like that stuff. So sure enough, we played a Motown YouTube mix. And she got us some chairs. The waitress pulled out one of the chairs from Jeff saying, I need this for my table. Then she did a whole poo-poo fuck her. I'll get you a chair.
You know what, though? It worked out better because, I was telling you guys, I had a pretty serious case of the comes and goes.
So standing up helped you?
So a little bit.
You had to stand anyway to
hold
the mic in people's faces.
So sometimes I was near the table. Sometimes I was leaning against the wall. It's just depending how hard it was coming and going.
That's why I wish Periscope actually worked for the whole time because Jeff we had burgers before, and they were very good burgers. By the way,
they were delicious.
There was good.
Just see Jeff doing like a little jig in the corner,
like shaking his right leg and shaking his left leg, trying to even out the equilibrium of his anus.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Doyle gets to sit the whole time. His comes and goes, went away.
Yeah, I didn't have any of them. Actually, I don't even want to tell you what happened with mine, but I'll let you guys know after the show. This is a family show. We don't talk about that fucking shit here. And literally. So, yeah, we had a good time. I want to thank everyone, if you're still listening to the show, because you were there and you happen to be a fan. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for being there.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking our wonderful koozies. And
now that we've burned 10 minutes about nothing, let's get into it.
Okay, yeah. So we we went to the Moose Lodge afterwards, and we got drunk with Timmy.
Hey, no. Timmy.
Timmy!
So for the Flyers Stadium Series game, if we could talk about that real quick, what'd you guys think?
Better than I expected.
It wasn't terrible. There was just two like back-breaking penalties for the most part that destroyed them,
and two back-breaking goals from our future starting goaltender.
Yeah,
Michael Neuwirth.
More than 11.
So I think, well, not really 11. More than a couple minutes. Do you guys think that game was just the like whole like the Penguins and or the Flyers versus better teams this year in a nutshell? Like they played really well. They
it's
played
been
a pretty
like,
sound game. But they just their
it's been
flaws
like every
were,
game they've played for the last like month and a half.
They like their flaws are magnified because if they let up one or two bad plays versus a good team, they can't compete and cover it up because they're not good enough to fight back.
If they have if they have one or two defensive breakdowns a game, it usually would lose them the game.
They also play the Penguins well all the time anyway, so
yeah, that's true. You know. And it was, you know, outdoor game, anything can happen. Those games are kind of crapshoots.
Under the lights.
The crapshoots.
Eye black. Andy McDonald.
Is that you're just saying things?
Yeah.
Jeff, word association DeAngelis over here.
Ketchup.
Mustard. Catching up. Falling
I did
behind.
Read on Twitter that a lot of people filtered out sometime during the third period.
Yeah, during the, so if you...
Yeah, I heard about that too.
If you're listening to this right now, check on our website this morning. You're going to see a guest article from one of our new guest contributors, Joe Walker, actually. He was there and he wrote an article about that. He mentioned that in his article about... how the people start filtering out secondary admissions. They stop serving beer. It was too cold. Or
can we just start yelling Joey every time?
Joey!
Like the Sopranos. Like,
you know what I call shenanigans on, though? The shoulder or the arm patch, not even the shoulder, that said City of Champions.
Yeah, it's not
that,
Boston.
That the Penguins were wearing. Like,
it's not
you
Pittsburgh.
You have two sports teams that have won anything.
Ever.
The Pirates stink. They don't even have a basketball team.
They don't have a basketball team? They don't have the Pittsburgh
like,
Steelmongers?
Like, how do you... How do you get off calling yourself the City of Champions just because the Steelers won a bunch like 20 or 30 years
ago? The Penguins
ago.
Won what, four?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Boston's won more in the last 10 years.
Well, you see those signs
Boston
from the...
in the last 10 years has had like the most ridiculous...
If you go back 15, it's even more with the Patriots, couple of Super Bowls. Yeah.
The Boston parades, there's like 12-year-old kids there that are like, I've seen 10 championships in my lifetime.
You're like, shut up and get AIDS.
Bastard kid. Little bastard kid. I've seen one, and that's probably all I'm going to see at the rate it's going currently.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, subscribe to the Reader on, if you do Google Reader, subscribe, because Joe wrote another article today, too. It was overheard. It was pretty funny. We had him, we told him to go listen to any, like, quotes out of context that he heard while at the Heinz Field.
And it's exactly what you would expect.
Exactly what you expect to say. And some Penguins fans, too, if you know any of those. And it was just, oh, wow.
1975.
Maybe we're not so different. Yeah, that one really hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's the fallback to any Pittsburgh
fan. I was
fan.
Hoping he was just misquoting a Smashing Pumpkins song, but...
Damn
apparently
it.
He wasn't.
I really wish there was video evidence of him interviewing people with a beer can. I would have liked to seen that.
Yeah, maybe next time. But yeah, look out for his article on there and there's more to come. So we're pretty excited. We'll be announce more of that to come. So and after that, on the Stadium Series game, after us being all hungover because we went to a Moose Lodge drinking $2 and $1 drinks all night.
$1 drafts.
Especially when you start losing that game and you realize it's out of touch. When the game was over, I didn't even care because there was $2 Gin and Club in my hand and $1 PBR on my right. And Steely Dan was playing on the radio all night long, so we had a good time.
Yeah, we took over the jukebox with Steely Dan.
The bartender kept going outside to imbibe himself of other herbal remedies besides alcohol, and we had a good time with it. So shout out to the Moose and Wildwood and, you know, Westies and everybody else that came out. And then the Flyers last night, typical trade deadline bullshit, come out firing versus a horrible team. And wound up winning 4-0 with Wayne Simmons scoring almost hat trick,
a
much
fake
to the chagrin of the fans who threw their hats on the ice.
Yes.
I mean, that 47 Pro Shop, whatever the hell it's called, that ain't cheap. Those hats are a lot more expensive than they used to be.
And then they were feeding him for the whole rest of the night.
Yep,
they were
trying to justify it.
Jordan Wheel was about to score his first NHL goal, and he's like, no, I'm just going to pass to Simmons. He literally did, like, on the one, like, it was like a two-man rush. He was like, I was going to pass to Simmer, and hopefully the fans, like, don't stop buying tickets. Mr. Snyder sent a message from the grave saying, don't let them walk out of here unsatisfied.
Did you see the interview after the period with Terry and Voracek? Yeah.
And he apologized.
Yeah, Voracek's like, I never want to get booed.
Yeah, please don't throw rocks at my car.
Probably the first time I've been booed by the home fans for a goal.
Yeah, exactly.
You would know that he went through Twitter last night and blocked just a bunch of people.
Who, Jake? Probably. Yeah, yeah.
Boo me, fuck
think
you.
He does it while do you think he does it while he's in his long johns after a long day of hockey?
Could be.
Long johns.
Walk around in a
probably
long
does it in
johns.
Between periods if you know something's up.
Yeah, that's true. You should always take care of yourself between periods. That's why I learned in health class.
Damn it. So anyway, that's a nice swan song from Steve Mason, though.
Yeah, you think it's his last game?
No, I mean, they're going to...
This is what's going to happen. I'm calling it now. They sign Michael Neuwirth.
Doyle, your phone's not even out. What are you calling?
God damn it.
They Siri.
Sign Michael Neuwirth. They're not going to bring Stolarz up. And they're going to sign Ben Bishop.
Well, I've seen two things. One is that they're going to make a hard play for Ben Bishop in the offseason. And two is that Hextall said that signing Mason's not completely out of the picture and that he would like to talk to him once the season ends.
Yeah, basically.
But if you're Steve Mason, like...
Basically, you're taking a fucking pay cut and you stink.
Basically, like, if Steve Mason right now just got balls rubbed across his face today.
Yeah.
So, what if, like, if you have any self-respect at all, I mean... If your only option's Calgary, though, maybe you resign.
Yeah. So,
like, who wants to go play in the middle of nowhere, Western Canada?
So, for those of you guys who haven't really paid attention, the Flyers did make some moves on trade deadline day.
Trade deadline.
One trade, two signings of players we already have, obviously. There's no free agents right
now. Yeah, only the Flyers.
Unless you sign Mike Richards or Ryan Malone.
Only the Flyers buy when they should be sellers.
You really believe that?
They're not going to. I mean, listen.
You really think they bought? Did they re-sign?
What did they buy?
Some quality backups.
They basically paid 50 cents for a refill at McDonald's. They didn't fucking go out and like... They didn't go out and like buy
such
anything.
That's a great analogy.
That's what they did. They're like, all right, you know what? I could go like buy a nice like, you know, latte across the street from the coffee place, but you know what? I just want to refill my soda. I need a little bit more caffeine to get me through the next couple of years till my young guys get better.
Isn't it funny how ridiculous... This fan base could get sometimes where it's like,
oh my god,
when Holmgren makes the panic move to trade for Chris Versteeg and everybody's like, what are you doing? You're trading the farm away. Now it's like we have a glimmer of hope to make the playoffs, and everybody's like, why are we trading for Duchesne?
If you watch,
we wanted Duchesne too, kind of, but we weren't like all in. We were like, hey, well, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, realistically, price, we weren't going to.
The asking price for him was just way too
much. It happens. We were hoping they get
If you watch Flyers Twitter today,
but it's just so funny that, like,
yeah, the sky was falling.
Everybody just wants
pennies, dude, all over again.
Flip flop like crazy.
It's not even warm enough for flip flops yet. I mean, it's a little warm March, but come on. March has started, people. It's not
spring.
Mean,
what do you...
You didn't mind the Chris Versteeg trade?
At the time, I didn't. Because we were a year removed from...
Dude, it really wasn't necessary, but it helped.
We were a year... Well, I thought it would have helped more than it did. He never gelled with the team.
No, he didn't.
We were a
he
year
stunk.
Removed from the cup, and we did not realize at the time, because we were blinded by the faith that we had the season of destiny that didn't end well with the cup. We thought, oh, what? Chris Pronger's hurt? It doesn't matter. We could still do it without Chris Pronger. We have teaming in. And like Mike Richards and Carter and JVR and Briere and Giroux, like we're gonna win again. Then we get swept by Boston. So I mean,
we will
like,
never lose.
I didn't think we're gonna never lose, but I thought, wow, we can. After last year, we can do anything. We got to the finals with Martin Biron, Brian Boucher, and Mike Layton. So I mean, at that time, I thought we could do anything.
What draft was that? Was that 2011?
I was also really drunk. I remember I was
2011.
That was the one we traded the first round pick for, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember I was. There was a BYOB wing spot me and my buddies went to in college to watch the game. I think they played the Panthers that night or something.
Oh, good.
Shit.
And the Maple Leafs picked somebody named Stuart Percy. So
how many beers usually bring to a BYOB for yourself or with your friends?
Oh, enough.
Usually just
answer.
A six-pack.
Yeah, enough. Well, you know, in Pennsylvania, they didn't sell six-packs back then, so we brought in a whole 24-pack of Rolling Rock while dads were with their kids from
like,
T-ball practice around us.
In PA, you have to find, like, a six-pack store.
Well, there's a beer distributor right next door.
Beer distributors can now sell six-packs, though, so...
Well, this is back in 2011.
Yeah.
So I was sitting around a bunch of Little League kids drinking a whole
finally get it figured out and sell liquor and beer in the same store.
I felt like a
and if you go to the Chad's Ford Wawa,
Chad,
they sell beer now.
Chad's Ford Wawa sells beer.
If I'm ever out in Chad's Ford, you know, finding a hooker or not doing anything with my life, I'll be sure to stop by and get some. But until then, thanks for the invite, Jeff.
If I want to go to Chad's Ford to get beer at Wawa, I could just go to the liquor store down the street.
Out that
was there a hanging Chad in Chad's Ford during the election?
Topical 2000 political reference.
it's my Dr. Mike impression.
Skit.
Dr. Mike's here. Skit. Just go back and listen to episodes. Like, why? Why'd you do that?
All right, so where do you want to jump in? Do you want to jump in with the re-signings or the trades?
Let's go over the...
Let's do the re-signings.
The refills.
First.
All right.
Yeah.
So, first re-sign, Michael Neuwirth. 2 years, $5 million. Nice, easy math, $2.5 million
total.
A year.
Yeah, total, right?
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
So, Hextall plans to expose Neuwirth in the expansion draft to protect Stolarz, and he has not completely ruled out re-signing Mason, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Here's my thoughts on this. Neuwirth, yes, he's played his brilliant stretches of play in his career. He has been able to stay healthy. However, with that price, that's like a backup. That's a really good backup goalie price. And what else? And if they're not going to, if they're going to sign Mason, or if they sign somebody else, unless they're a bona fide really good elite goalie, they're not going to spend that much money on them. And we have a lot of we have like Carter Hart and other young like Stolarz in the system.
Exactly.
If you do this, it's very easy to get picked up by Las Vegas. They want. And it takes away your ability to take Stolarz or somebody else. However, it's also pretty easy cap money if you do wind up keeping him. And we know he could be a good backup and a good goalie for stretches if he stays healthy. Maybe they say, listen, do your hamstring curls and make sure you do your hip flexor stretches every day before you work out. That way you don't get hurt and stop being a bitch. And don't let Ratko knock up any more of your siblings.
So Dave Isaac's Courier Post article had a bunch of quotes from Hextall regarding the Neuwirth signing. And... Hextall was cautious because he does have a injury history, and but Hextall's ultimate quote was, "We like the term and we like the cap hit. I did not want to go into July 1st with no goalies because that's a recipe for disaster. We felt like this one was reasonable deal with reasonable terms, so we'll do this."
It is. And know what? The whole Umberger for Hartnell thing looks even better right now, because even if we didn't buy him out, he'd be gone after this year. So like, imagine Hartnell for one more year with that much money.
Right, 4 points.
So it really is looking like that long game thing. I know everyone was kind of bitching about that. And I understand we lost some scoring with Hartnell. But
well, it's because they're thinking about, oh my God, I love Scott Hartnell, and not, oh my God, his money is ridiculous.
And also in 3 years, where was our team going to be? Because all these other players, like, you know, Voracek was going to be extended, and Giroux's extension was fully kicked in, and Simmons' extension. Like, we have a lot of players. And eventually, Ghost and Provorov are going to need extensions if we still have them.
I also thought it was interesting that Hextall is quoted as saying, when Newbie's playing hockey, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
When he's playing.
Well, I think...
He hurts himself so goddamn
much. He gets
much.
Hurt. He'll play a bunch. He can't... They have to have a capable backup and not give him, like, five starts in a row. Because
they need to invest in...
These coaches we get love playing goalies 7 games in a row.
They need to invest in sports science.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
But not the Sixers that sports
ESPN
science.
Because they have a zoologist as their doctor, so go figure.
Yeah, I don't care how big some of those guys are. They're still humans, okay?
I think it's very... Because right now, like, he said he didn't rule... Hextall is not going to rule out re-signing Mason, but if Mason has any self-respect, he's not going to re-sign, right?
I think he'd be... I think most teams would want a guy like him, either as a backup, like,
unless,
recapture what he had role, or, like, even as to compete with someone for a starting job.
Unless Mason is, like, so adamant about staying here, like, I don't think he re-signs.
What if Las Vegas just signs him straight up? They can do that.
They could do that, yeah.
Go to a new team, new franchise...
Who would have him as a starter?
Vegas, maybe. Assuming they can't poach anyone better, like, because
you'd have to weigh that in too. Because some places are just trying to get him as a backup. Does he really want to be a backup?
Well, that's what the problem. Like, realistically, I don't think anywhere he's going to go besides maybe Las Vegas if they really can't get anybody in the draft. Like, I bet Hextall's banking on free agency comes, free agency goes. Mason's still sitting there with a thumb up his ass. And then Hextall's like, how's $5 sound?
Well, I think with Neuwirth, too, this was an interesting stat I found today. He is the last in save percentage for goalies who have played at least 15 games.
Neuwirth. Oh, yeah, he's having a tough
time.
So this was discount.
Good.
They know he can play better. They know the team has been playing. I mean, that's as much of showing of him as it is a team, I think, with the defense this year.
Yeah.
He's had some
Everybody's
really rough ones, especially in the Winter Classic game. He had a lot of rough little goes of it. But, I mean... If you get him for that, it's like, hey, look, you played yourself really shittily. We'll give you a little leg up here if you know.
Right.
But show us what you can do. 2 year little bridge.
But if they don't get Mason or they don't find another goalie like Ben Bishop, then they're going to put a lot of weight on Anthony Stolarz.
Do you think it's just a backup, though? I think they'll let Neuvirth start, let him back up.
I would imagine they'll split time because Neuvirth hasn't been able to play more than 40 games in a season. So
okay. I think they might sign another veteran goalie then to help out in the AHL. Like maybe like a Rob Zepp kind of guy.
So another thing I was reading was that the Flyers just could have claimed Jeff Zachoff off waivers when the Kings sent him down, and they didn't.
Yeah.
So if they were signing a goalie just for the expansion draft, like, boom, your problem solved. Just pick up Zachoff.
I think, I'm thinking they might pick up a veteran, though, this offseason to help out.
I mean, they're going to have to unless they're going to put the load on Stolarz.
Hey, I'm totally ready for Stolarz to jump up, man.
But apparently,
it's getting to the now
after
or never
Stolarz
point.
Got sent back down, he's regressed in his AHL would have gone down. So,
okay.
I don't know.
It could be a lot of factors.
Who's available next to come up to the AHL?
So Alex Lyon's there. I mean, they could always sign a depth goalie to put in the AHL, but like I don't know,
Rob Zepper, a Michael Layton kind of guy.
I know this was in Dave Isaacs. He was talking about it through tweets. He didn't put it in his article, but Felix Sandstrom is his contract's coming up in his like Swedish league or whatever it is. So there's the belief that he's going to come to the North American Hockey Leagues next year. So Felix Sandstrom could be the backup for the Phantoms potentially.
Yeah. Is he will be old enough? Oh yeah, it's AHL. You have to be 21 though, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he's going to go to juniors or he's going to go to the AHL.
Yeah, if he's coming from the Swedish league, I don't think it matters.
Basically, what Isaac was saying
it's only for the Canadian hockey.
Yeah,
league,
so
right.
what Isaac was saying was that Vorobyev, Lindblom, and Sandstrom their contracts are all expiring in their respective current leagues, and that you might see them in North American leagues next year.
Yeah, we have such a deep
Lindblom maybe
pool.
Making the team next year.
And then there's still Carter Hart.
And they're still Carter Hart in juniors.
Who we all know is a babe.
Right.
Yeah, this is why I was getting so irked today. I think we had an open text message today, and I think Doyle sent something he saw on Twitter. And it's almost as bad as reading someone's political views on Twitter when they just start telling you how stupid they are. It's like, dude, I know I'm not the, you know, end all be all Flyers hockey and know everything, but come on, man, like you have to understand this team was like just going to make the play. We said it before. Beginning of season, they're a 10-game streak. They are not like the Stanley Cup or like Eastern Conference championship team yet.
No.
They have so much to give in the future.
Every analyst, by the way, even though you haven't gone over the next signing, I'm not going to say who it is for suspense, I guess. But
suspense, if you didn't read the news yesterday.
Yeah. Every analyst has liked that
Steve
signing.
Mason is going to suspend himself from his basement ceiling tonight because he's so upset at the thing in Philadelphia. The basement we drank in.
But every hockey analyst I've read about that, they're all like, I like this move. It makes sense.
Well, have we exhausted the Neuvirth topics?
I mean, yeah, whatever. I think it is what it is. He either stays or he goes. I'm happy with it.
Mason is 30. He would have wanted long-term contract with starter money.
Well, this is Mason's last big chance at a contract.
Right.
When you're 30.
And there's no reason for the Flyers to pay him that much money when there's like 18 goaltender prospects somewhere in the Flyers system right now.
Well, that's why everybody wants Stolarz to move up.
And right. Even then, there's teams right now that win without like that quote-unquote elite goalie. Like in the early to mid-2000s, it was like, if you don't have Lundqvist or Fleury or like Pekka Rinne.
And you know
it's
what?
Like,
even with Lundqvist, Rangers came close, but still didn't do
as
it.
As I'm saying, it's like you build on a strong, having like two or three good scoring lines, an effective, like maybe like a good one or two checking lines, and a solid defense.
It's good to have like a great goalie, but
I can bail you out.
Look at the
Blackhawks.
It's
a nice luxury.
Antti Niemi.
Yeah, he makes the saves he has to make, and he has a couple weaker ones sometimes.
Look at the
yeah.
Sharks this year.
Look at the Flyers in 2010.
Aaron Dell is like at the top of the league, and he's a rookie.
No, they're not playing Martin Jones anymore.
Yeah, what about, what's his name? Crawford.
I don't know if
Crawford
Jones
was for the Blackhawks too, right?
Yeah, Crawford's their goalie now.
Yeah, he's a goalie now. He's had up and down. Jimmy Howard on the Red Wings had a couple good seasons.
Jimmy
went
Howard's
far.
Having a tough go of things.
But he was pretty good his
so
first couple of years, though.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it helps.
You just need to have an above-average goalie.
The Flyers for years never had a good goalie, so I mean, we can talk about that too. But I mean, I think that Neuvirth and whoever else they have with this team building around, you don't really need to go out and sign Mason. Even though you know our show, us as a whole, we've defended Mason. I think as long as we've been around.
Well, because you know what's going to happen in like 4 years when Carter Hart's ready to go and like. The Flyers don't have to worry about like Steve Mason with like 3 more years left on a contract. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, Carter Hart can come up and start playing. And then everyone's going to miss the fact that like Hextall signed Neuwirth for 2 years, like 5 years ago.
Yeah, can you imagine would Konecny made the team if Hartnell was still on the team right now?
Yeah,
I doubt it.
If Grossman was still here or Coburn, would you have, you know,
would you have played Provorov?
Yeah. Would Ghost have even made it to the full?
Yeah, well, like what lineup? I saw was like, so Hextall didn't start doing all of his work. He didn't start doing all of his trade work until like right before the deadline was up. So like everybody on Twitter was like, I hope Ron Hextall dies. Like, I hope he gets hit by a truck. He's stupid. He doesn't understand the league. He can't evaluate talent.
Were you trolling earlier when you were texting that?
Yeah, of course.
I was making sure.
Dude, Flyers Twitter was freaking out.
Well, anytime Jeff texts in all caps, it's a joke.
Well, a couple of them weren't in all caps. And I was like, is he really going off the deep end here?
No, it was out of control. Like, everybody was like, Hextall doesn't know how to evaluate talent.
Yeah.
But like, maybe all of
like, the incompetence of this organization is killing me.
But why? They didn't do anything stupid.
Well, maybe because guess who else they re-signed?
Okay, now this is one a point of contention, but sure, let's go to this
Pierre-Édouard de Belmar, 2 years,
Frenchy.
2.9 total, 1.5 a year.
1.45.
Timmy P is quoted. Timmy P, so you know it's legit, quoted as saying, his value as a fourth line checking center and penalty killer.
You didn't insert the blinking in his quotes.
Is all that
therefore
matters.
Therefore, it's not correct.
Yeah, add your own periscope. Put the blink on, Jeff. Pretend this is theater. Podcast is the theater of the mind, but you must do it to make sure they know it's theater.
Timmy P also
said to have accuracy.
That given the number of shorthanded chances he generates, the Frenchman should have a few shorthanded goals, but then also said that is mostly Wayne Simmons' department now. So...
Why you gotta have so many blinks? Oh, it's Timmy P quote. Okay, I get it now.
Timmy P. Anyway, this one kind of puzzled me. I wasn't 100% sure why Belmar got 1.5. I get it, like, responsible penalty-killing center, but, like, Flyers penalty kill is kind of dog shit. So, like, why are you rewarding him?
Because but is it
who
all?
Who else are they going to get, you know?
Phantoms, free agency, there's got to be somebody for cheaper.
I don't know.
The Flyers have wrapped up a fair amount of money in their bottom six.
Look at how much Cal Clutterbuck makes.
Well, you can't use the Islanders.
You can't use Gar Snow as the measuring stick for the whole NHL. Come on now.
Gar Snow is what the French would call le terrible.
He's the premier fourth liner, though.
He is.
premier
hipster mustache.
He's the English Premier League of fourth liners. Oh, what an idiot. I don't know, man. I think... My Pierre-Édouard Belmar take is my hot take. It's not really a hot take, actually. I don't love this signing, but I don't hate it because
it
fills a need
into perspective
for the next 2 years. And we have a fourth line, slash, he can move up to the third line, maybe. He can play center. He's effective. You don't have to worry about that. You can get some younger guys to fill up a line along him on the fourth line,
yeah.
Or Dale Weiss.
And he's going
to
be 32, so he's entering his Giroux prime.
Yes.
Here's my perspective. I don't mind this signing as long as. Chris Van Velde walks this summer.
I think this guarantees he walks.
Right, that's the stipulation I like. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything, because Hextall could be stumping super hard right now.
But yeah. Here's the next thing.
Like, Ron, I'll swallow the gravy, buddy. You're bringing back TVV. <I'll swallow.
laughs> Do you bring back Labimov, or do you let him walk?
I mean...
If you don't see...
And this also is a testament of how bad Scott Laughton must be right now.
Right, because you look at the Phantoms, you also have to figure out how many Phantoms are going to be ready to come up. Like, is Taylor Lear finally going to crack the big lineup?
Is Jordan Wheel going to stay?
Is Jordan Wheel going to stay? Like,
Lindblom,
what about Scott Laughton?
We didn't mention
is
Jordan
Wheel
scored his first NHL goal last night.
He did.
Yeah, which was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good deflection tip. Yeah.
Yes.
I would like to see him stay.
Yeah.
Because what else do we have to lose? Guys like him and Nick Cousins and Taylor Lear should be getting play over other players in the top nine,
I think in his stint, now he's shown that he can. He's looked in very much improved since last year.
Well, and not to get off pet topic.
He's worked on his game
in AHL. Wheel was sent down to the Phantoms today because he had to be on the roster by today's cutoff point. I think to play in the AHL playoffs.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
so they
trying.
Sent him down. He'll be eligible to go to the AHL to play in the playoffs, but he'll be recalled for Thursday's game.
Yeah, so they bring him down just so he's there, and then they bring him back up. That way,
yeah, they drop him down so he's at the deadline. So if the Phantoms are in the, because I think they're in the playoffs, they're like first.
Yeah,
they're
the third best AHL team.
So when they hit the playoffs, if the Flyers season is pretty much over, I guess their reasoning is that send Wheel down, get him some AHL playoffs.
So instead of like a black ace, like a white ace, you send him down.
And then And then if not, he can stay up with the Flyers and help try to score goals.
Yeah, I think
which
we
they are in
dire need of.
So like, if you figure, if Wheel somehow plays in like the top six, right, or maybe just top nine,
they had him on.
Yeah, Belmar, fourth line center. Kutz, your third line center, right? And then you have somewhere with what? Nick Cousins, Lubimov, Weiss.
Yeah, you figure out what to do
and
with
Lear maybe. And
with wingers,
you could add another. You can add another veteran presence for the
hopefully
locker room.
Matt Reed leaves.
Yeah,
leaves town.
Is this? He has one more year after this, doesn't he?
He does.
He does. Which
but
is,
Raffle
he
also had Raffle's in the mix. Even
well, Raffle, if Raffle or Reed get picked up by the expansion draft or somehow are dealt or bought out.
Yeah,
which I don't think they want to buy out because that's dead money.
And Raffle last night hurt himself. He's out 6 to 8 weeks with a possible return in the first or second week of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, that's
ooh.
Good.
So I think the Flyers, like I forget who it was. It might have been Timmy P. Was like, he's out for the rest of the season.
In all seriousness, though.
We're only 4 points behind, though.
Well, dude, that's Timmy P's MO, man. He
yeah.
always...
Shit stirrer.
Yeah, he always... If he can be negative, count the Flyers out of the playoffs at any point in the season, he will go ahead and do
if
that.
If we beat Florida
last year in February, he... Like, the Flyers
yeah,
lost.
Yeah, the season
and they
was
were,
over.
Like, yeah, he was like, well, the Flyers have no shot at making the playoffs this year. And then they made the playoffs.
And then he immediately changes the headline. It's almost like if you blink, you'd miss it.
Oh. Ba-da-da-da. The Flyers right now are, as they sit, they are 3 points behind the Florida Panthers. If they win tomorrow night in regulation without going to overtime, they are within 1 point of Florida and 1 point of the Islanders. Both are in that 68 range. And the bottom team, Toronto, we're fighting for that last spot. The Rangers are holding it down 82 because our Metropolitan Division is so good. So that last spot, we are still within... 4 points right now, but we're 3 points by the people in front of us.
Yeah, and the ridiculous thing was like everybody wanted the Flyers to start buying, so like what they could limp into the second wild card spot and then get
and
blown
then
out. In the
there's
first
no
round.
Reason. To,
get blown.
Here's what
that's
here's,
what I'm saying. Like everybody's freaking out, telling that they need to make a move, like a ridiculous move, and I'm just like, weren't like is this the same fan base that was complaining that Paul Holmgren did this all the time, and now all of a sudden we're finally like. Getting good players to come up through our farm.
It's like Pavlov's dog. They've been conditioned.
Yeah.
No, that's ridiculous.
Trade deadline. I got a boner. I don't know why. I'm waiting for it. Oh, you don't let me come. I don't know. Sorry.
But they've been conditioned to like expect it.
Yeah.
Like we're close. Panic move.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben Bishop. Ben Milling. No.
Here's the thing.
Like, relax.
Look at the moves that the Canadians made. They signed. They traded for Steve Ott.
Yeah, Steve Ott.
They traded for a...
They got Burrows, too? Who they get?
No, Steve
no,
Ott,
Steve Ott,
Jordy
Dwight
Ben,
King.
And King. Yeah.
Oh, it was Jordy Ben. That's right. I was thinking...
Jordy
was...
Ben. They broke up the bro pairing.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a shame.
But, oh, my God. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. They went all in on some grit.
You got Dwight King?
Steve Ott and Dwight King are bigger guys. King was actually pretty important to the Kings. Los Angeles
yeah.
Kings. But I read that he was going
I
to
I traded
be...
myself.
King was going to be a expansion draft casualty, probably. Like, they weren't going to be able to protect him, so they got something for him.
We know, as Tom Petty said, it's good to be king.
And then Jordy Ben, which I thought would have got better than a fourth-round pick that was conditional. But I guess not, you know?
Yeah, well, what are you going
to
do?
What are you going
to
do?
Can I just say this, though, for the playoffs thing? Like, yes, you want to make the playoffs, and Hextall does, too, because even if they just getting in, you could
that
you never know what happens.
Money.
You could you well, that, you could make a run. You never know. Right, you could get lucky. You can get a good matchup versus a first round team. Get some momentum. Get some confidence. Goalie hits her stride. Power play hits her stride. Whatever. Right. Or other side of the coin is these young guys on the team get experience playing in big playoff games together.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's what you build on.
But see, I like
because making the first round of the playoffs and like not making the playoffs by like still being on the cusp, the draft choice isn't that much different.
Yeah,
especially
you
with
pretty
the
much ruin
draft
your
year.
Draft position by making the playoffs or getting close to it. Because you're like in the middle of the pack, especially
yeah, if
this year.
If you're close to it, it doesn't really make much difference. So
especially
if you're all the way
year,
at the bottom.
A lot of GMs were very comfortable trading their first round picks if it was later because the draft's supposed to be not deep at all.
Well, yeah, the Capitals moved their first round pick to get a Shattenkirk.
Good news. The Flyers have like 13 picks in this draft.
Most in the draft.
That's fine though. It's not that good of a draft. You get, I mean, who cares?
Joe Pavelski.
You could just
yeah, you
trade
have plenty of guys like
yeah.
that could pop out
just
nowhere.
Trade him away, you know.
You trade him away and get some scoring power. Yeah.
Hashtag trade deadline.
It's pretty good, Al Pacino.
So they did not get rid of Michael Delzato, but they did move a retired racing horse, Mark Strait. Yeah!
get straight to it, Jeff. So what do you got for me on this one?
So Hextall called up Stevie Y, said, "Hey, Stevie Y, you want this lame old defenseman who can't skate anymore?"
Hell yes.
So Steve Yzerman and Hextall pounded out the deals. We got Mark Streit, and the Flyers retained 4.7% of his salary. 4.7 is not a typo. That's
That's what it is.
What it is. And the Flyers get in return Valtteri Filppula, a fourth-round pick, and a conditional seventh-round pick.
That's not call- that's what I'm talking about. That is some wizardry.
Now, the rumored conditions of the seventh-round pick was that Streit had to be traded to a second team today. So it looked like Hextall knew exactly what Tampa Bay was going
to
do.
And who did they trade him to?
So now Streit is a Pittsburgh Penguin.
What?
No!
And the Penguins traded the Tampa Bay Lightning back a fourth-round pick.
For 2018.
Yeah. So basically, everybody was saying that the Flyers got fleeced because Yzerman got...
Oh, yeah. Can we... That's what you set me off with earlier.
So...
Oh, my God. How?
They're saying the Flyers got fleeced because the Lightning were able to dump Filppula in his no movement clause in his $5 million a year contract to the Flyers.
For a year.
Yeah.
For only a year.
Well, yeah. But here's, then Flyers Twitter exploded. Hextall's an idiot because they have to waste a protected spot in the expansion draft on Filppula.
Hold on a second. I don't understand why that's a problem.
Well, hold on.
Who are you going to protect? Michael Raffel?
So
Matt Reed?
You have
he has a really good power move along the board.
Oh,
just
my
happen
God.
Like three times.
You have six forward spots.
All of a sudden, everybody's like, Michael Raffel's not going to be on the team. He's going to go to Las Vegas.
You have six forward spots.
Like, he's so good all of a sudden.
Where you have to protect players.
I don't hate Raffel either, but come
on. I don't either, but in the last, like, three games, have you heard his name on any broadcast?
No. He had one good play deflection in the opening minute.
He's a good team guy, is what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
So you protect six forwards.
Not good team guys, socialists.
If you go the route where you
not
can protect...
Not my goddamn country, a goddamn communist.
I think it's like a 6-3 and
Cold
one.
War.
So you have Giroux, Voracek, Simmons, Couturier, and Shen are five.
Mm-hmm.
So you
is
still,
this just forwards?
This is just forwards.
Okay.
So now you have one open protection spot that's going to be filled by Filppula. So Giroux, Voracek, Simmons, Couturier, Shen, Filppula.
Now they don't have to use it on Konechny because he hasn't played long enough, right?
No, Konechny hasn't done it in 2 years.
You get two years to be a professional, right?
So,
but that doesn't automatically count. That doesn't count as an automatic protection.
The Flyers leave exposed Dale Weiss.
No.
Oh, God, no.
Michael Raffel, Matt Reed.
You'd probably use your seventh one on Cousins.
Well, it depends. If you pick the six forwards, I think you can go 6-4 or 7-3 maybe.
What, is it one
like
goalie?
Yeah, I don't know. I forget what the rules are. But basically, I'm going with like the minimal amount of the minimal amount of protected forwards. So like even if you go with the minimal amount, it's not a big deal.
No,
Filppula is probably still better than anybody you would protect. Like I'd rather have Filppula over Raffel.
Like, would you rather have Filppula playing second line center or Braden Shen?
They can. Here's what they can protect: three defensemen, seven forwards, and one goalie. Or any group of eight skaters, regardless of position,
and
one goalie.
Why do you have to do that in that accent?
Because I thought it'd be really funny and annoying.
Well, that's even better. It's pretty annoying. If you can protect
you.
Seven, because then you have Filppula with one extra slot. So then, oh my God, we can protect Raffel.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But if you're protecting Raffel over Cousins, you're an idiot.
I was hurting for his ability to play up and down the lineup and score a minimal amount of goals to help.
First and second year professional players would be exempt. Does Cousins count?
Cousins would be completing his second year, right? So no, Lubimov wouldn't count.
Did he move up at all and play enough games the year before that to count, or no?
I don't think
so. Is it just NHL experience or a professional?
I think it's just NHL experience. What about we're forgetting everybody? They just re-signed him. You're not going to want to lose him, Pierre-Edouard Belmar.
Maybe they did that to
expose
him.
Yeah, no. What people aren't understanding is that like. I like that Dave Isaac got it in his quotes from Hextall that, like, we don't want to go into the expansion draft not having a goalie signed. Like, we don't want to go into the expansion draft not having players we're willing to lose signed.
Yeah, exactly.
He had 11 games played in 14-15, so
this
could be technically his third year, right? So they have to use him, I think.
Maybe. I don't know if people realize this, but the expansion draft could solve some of the Flyers' cap problems.
Well, no.
And if you're upset about it, it can make it worse. Okay, here's the thing. If they pick up, if they take Philpula, you don't protect him. Oh, well.
You have to.
What?
You have to.
They have to. He has a no movement clause.
He has a no movement clause.
Oh, okay.
So that's why.
Oh, yeah,
Drew,
for, I knew that.
So I don't know. Does Voracek have one?
No, but they're going to protect him anyway.
Well, I'm just.
I'm looking at like obvious ones they're going to protect.
Yeah.
And you know what? If they didn't buy. Well, Umberg would have been off the books, but if.
What if they trade one of.
Hartnell would have been.
What if they trade one of these guys before that even happens?
They could do that too.
What if they package Couturier or Shen and
easily
deal
trade
with
Couturier
like a
or
ghost or like another.
It's
like
not as bad
or,
as everybody made it out to be.
Well, no way it is because here's the thing. True or false? The Flyers scored a lot of goals at 5-on-5 this year.
True. I mean false.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know the answer. What's the answer?
It's false.
Well, it's false. Jesus. Yeah. Oh my God. With all that the statistics you have up in there.
Yeah.
Jeff stats. So, Philpula, yeah, end of his career. Not exactly the player he once was about 5 years ago.
I don't
However,
I think it's the end of his career. He's not that old, is he?
He's 32.
He's 32.
He's the end of his scoring prime.
Yeah, well,
but he's
Drew fans.
But he's a fifth on this team in scoring.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We need a second-line center because Shannon and Couturier ain't cutting
it. Yeah, also, if you look at his 5v5 Corsi stats, Philpula is ranked higher than Jake Voracek, and Jake Voracek is the Flyers' top player. Or something along those lines.
You're a fucking comedian.
But Shen can't drive play, Corsi, hashtag. Philpula will be the center that drives play for him. So you
I
know
think
what
Shen
this
on the wing with him.
Shen's going to start scoring even more meaningless power play goals.
What if Philpula plays winger with Drew? Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
He could. I mean, he's played wing.
Kidding. The last time he moved to center from a Tampa Bay Lightning team to play wing with Drew, it didn't work out too well, and he hurt his back, and he had to get moved to L.A. and be to eat his salary.
Somebody tweeted out a picture of
LeCavalier.
Yeah.
I think they would.
Like, it's not even close to being like.
LeCavalier was a little bit older and also a lot more beat up.
LeCavalier was, what, 35?
Yeah, 34.
He was 34, but he's a lot more beat up, yeah.
They could probably try him on the wing, but I think he'll eventually get moved to center.
I think a second line center.
I think he fits better as a center because
the Flyers don't have that second line center.
Yeah, they don't have a second line.
That's, yeah.
Him,
Shen,
and like
a one-line team.
A Konechny would be a great line.
Yeah, him, Shen, Konechny and Raffle.
Raffle, we'll see.
Well, he's going to be out for the rest of the season.
If it's
so
Drew and Voracek and like Simmons, or Drew, Voracek, Shen, and you have Simmons, Philpula, and like a Konechny on there, that's a pretty good line.
That's probably better off for the Flyers anyway that Raffle's hurt. Because now you can keep...
They don't have to force him into the lineup.
You can keep Wheel and Konechny's coming back.
Yeah. Konechny was wearing the black jersey today, which means he's cleared for contact in practice.
Yeah, I think they said he'd be back this.
So maybe not
I
Thursday.
I was a fan of the late 90s.
So maybe not Thursday, but I think, Saturday with the play, he'll be might be in the lineup.
Yeah, they play Washington, I believe, Saturday.
So once is Lubimov, does he have one more year left?
He is.
Lubimov's one-year entry level,
on a one-year, yeah. So
we bring him back or let him go, two-way contract to the Phantoms? What do you guys think?
If he's willing to take it, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's looked good when he played.
Yeah, I think if we...
Did he not make the lineup for the outdoor game?
Did they really want to get Dale Weiss in there?
Dale Weiss played.
Dale Weiss did play.
Son of a bitch.
Here's the thing. We're stuck with Dale Weiss for what, another two years?
2 years, I think.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not, right? He'd be a good guy to have in building a franchise up.
And plus, his contract, we complain about how much money he got, but he really got less than 2.5, I think.
It's a very tradable contract.
Yeah, maybe we can just get rid of him.
If we're stuck with him and we can somehow, if they don't get Vandeveld, you put Lubimov on the fourth or third line with a Belmar type, if they're still around.
I really hope that Hextall...
This expansion draft, I mean, who knows? May not take many Flyers at all. We'll see.
I really hope that Hextall didn't wait or isn't waiting to sign a Vandeveld just to rub it in our faces, you know?
If he signs Vandeveld, then I will definitely have concerns about the hell this team's going.
And Weiss is at 2-3-5. So, yeah. Definitely tradable. Also, I was listening to...
Is it announced no movement clause have to use a protection for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's no trade clauses are fine. No movement clauses. They
okay,
have to automatically
protect. That was originally a question I had earlier this year.
Right. So that's the problem. So right now, apparently so many guys on the Lightning have no movement clauses that Yzerman was kind of in a tough position because I don't think he had enough spots or he was running out of spots because he had so many with no movement clauses. So Hextall helped out Yzerman. Yzerman gave back a pretty decent haul for a 40-year-old
conditional
Mark Streit.
Seventh round pick, We got a fourth round pick.
It is a seventh round pick now, though.
Yeah, we got a seventh round pick.
And a fourth round
pick. We got a fourth round pick. And we got
a center.
A center. Yeah. Who they can hopefully help us in our even strength scoring goals, like, and even the power play. So,
and everybody overlooked, and they were
and
like,
"It's only a year.
They were like, $5 million. He stinks.
We have much cap room coming up. What Strite's gone?
They're like, Strite's cap hit was coming off at the end of the season. Now you have to cover this guy.
But who are we going to sign with that money though? None of our young players are going to command that much money right now.
Well, I don't know if anybody looked at the free agent market either. Like, and if you weren't getting Radulov, you weren't getting anybody. So
yeah, that's
for. Radulov's up this year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, assuming that somebody...
Tavares?
Tavares is next year.
I thought he was
He's a restricted free agent this year, isn't he?
Oh, is he restricted? I don't think so, guys.
I'm pretty sure he's done this year, isn't he?
Well, I saw that Tyler Johnson was up.
No, he's through.
He's got one more year. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was the end of the year.
And then he'll be a Flyer.
Yeah. To sleep, perchance to dream.
Yeah, that'll be a big contract.
At this point... they are who they thought we were. Like, they're going to need to still, they need it this offseason once again. This was the year we said last year, if you listen to old episodes or if you just have heard us talk about it, this was the magic year where a bunch of those old shitty contracts come off the books or are very close to coming off the books or they become more tradable.
And you know what?
Thus, then, you got to wait another year. We said when we started this podcast back in August of 2015, right? That's when we started it. Yes.
Yeah.
We did. We said that this team needed a good 2 or 3 years to get their shit together. Cap wise, and also let the talent develop, and they're still developing. And we've had some we've seen some evidence that they have developed, and we're still getting rid of
like
old shit.
The problem I don't get, and like how Twitter got so ridiculous. They like everybody was, Strite stinks, Schultz stinks, Delzato stinks, they all stink. Trade them. Well, you just said they all stink. Who are you gonna trade them to? Who wants stinky players?
Well, who's going to want them?
Well, now also that with Strite being gone, now Delzato can play, and we actually could see if he has anything left to whether or not we can sign him to a little crappy deal or like
exactly
or trade his rights to somebody.
I mean, it's hard to say because he looked good in the Colorado game, but the Avalanche are poop. Hot
Delzato
poop.
Is a decent defenseman. He could be a third or fourth defenseman on a team. He's had a rough stretch this year, but the whole Flyers team has. So, I mean, in reality, I can't judge him by that. He played pretty great, especially last year until he got hurt. We all talk about that all the time. But who knows?
Right.
But if he does really well, though, he could trade his rights for like a fifth round or sixth round pick.
Yeah.
You could do that. Or
I wouldn't give him any substantial money. I think Hextall pretty much.
But would he stay? If he likes Philadelphia, he might stay here.
Well, yeah, so does Mark Strite. But I wouldn't want to re-sign him.
You wouldn't want to re-sign Delzato at all?
No.
No.
Because even with Delzato, if you re-sign Delzato, then you're really like... You have if you re-sign Delzato, you have Provorov, McDonald, Ghost, because I'm assuming they're going to re-sign him in the offseason.
Yeah, safe bet.
Gudas.
Or they move him. If they trade Ghost, do you keep Delzato?
And Manning.
Probably. Gudas and Manning. And that's five right there.
So yes. You can bring up Hag, Sanheim, Morin.
Yeah. So like... Yeah. You don't want to bring Delzato into it, and then you have six defensemen, and then you have to rotate one of the AHL players in as the seventh, because like it's not going to help him.
Yeah, you need. Yeah. Well, who would be the seventh defenseman then
Manning,
if we bring up another guy?
Manning
would be the seventh
defenseman.
Manning
stinks.
You just said we have five, and you add another guy, and it'd be six. So who would be
if you added Delzato?
Delzato be your seventh is what you're saying.
Delzato be your sixth. Provorov?
But I'm asking if we don't get Delzato and
bring up two AHLers.
Yeah, you bring
AHL
up two
players,
AHLers.
And then have Manning as your seventh.
Hagen, Morin, or out of Morin and Sanheim, whoever's ready.
Or do you sign a veteran defenseman for
like
a Lilja kind of guy?
Or you bring back Mark Strite for $950,000.
I wouldn't do that. I would go with two AHLers.
I'd bring back
with
Strite for less than $2 million. But now, who's the assistant captain now? Is it going to be Simmons and Voracek?
No, they'll probably do somebody on the defensive side of the park.
They'll probably strip Claude Giroux of the C.
As much
give
as
it to Simmons.
As
and then give him the A, and then give the other A to Chris Vanevelde.
Well, that's a smart choice. No, I think if they're going to go with how they had it, and they pick a defenseman, Gudas' reputation isn't good enough. It'll probably be...
Who?
McDo.
You think he'll give him the A?
Well, unless they give it to Provorov, because they're like, hey, guy.
Nah, that's too good.
You're going to be good.
Not yet.
Yeah,
not
so
yet.
Out of your, if they want to keep it a defense.
They give it to Coots?
It seems like the Flyers wanted to, or they wanted to make sure that it was like forward defense for assistant captains.
True. That's usually what teams will do.
So if they want to keep it a defenseman, McDonald's really your only option unless they give it to Gudas, but Gudas is kind of a mark, so.
Give it to Ghost? No, I'm just kidding. Hacksaw wouldn't do that. He's already
not
benched him for... Apparently Ghost has been kind of a cocky asshole this year. Yeah. That's why they benched him.
So.
Well, he also had the worst plus-minus rating, and people were outraged that he
terrible.
Was benched.
Yeah, I don't know. So any other big notable trades we can discuss? We're running down here last...
There's a few.
So trades that affect us. The Devils traded away Johnny Oduya.
Oh, do you know?
The Devils? You mean the Stars?
Oh, wait. Yeah, I copied and pasted that wrong.
Yeah. So the Blackhawks get Johnny Oduya back after the Devils traded Johnny Oduya away back in the day.
Yeah.
To the Blackhawks, right?
But no, the Devils get...
That's when they went for what? Koval? No, who they trade Oduya for? Was it Kovalchuk? Not to the Blackhawks. Traded him to the Thrashers, right? Or is it, was they traded...
I don't remember.
That
anyway,
sounds right.
That was in the wrong category. Shut up. The Blue Jackets got Kyle Quincy from the Avalanche.
I can't control...
So the Blue Jackets defense got a little better. I don't think they had anybody serious.
Kevin Shattenkirk.
Capitals got Shattenkirk. Clearly got better. And didn't have to give up that much to get him.
He went Thrashers / Jets after the Devils, then Blackhawks back to the Stars, back to the
What happened when I sorted it? It sorted the wrong column.
We're using Excel over here.
Yeah.
Big Exceller. Why don't you count if and your sum
when I sorted
and your
it.
Jerome Iginla got traded to the Kings.
Yeah, I made a joke about that last night. He's the kind of guy you want on a team that's ready to make a run. He could add some veteran help in like your second power play unit.
So the Penguins,
that's pretty much it.
Yep. The Penguins added Strife.
Which is fine, but Flyers don't. If the Flyers were ready to make a cup run, I'd say sure, go after them, but we don't need to.
The Penguins added Strife from the Lightning and dropped Eric Fair.
But they got Frank Corrado.
I think they traded Eric Fair.
Yeah, they traded Eric Fair and Steve Alexi to the Maple Leafs.
But who the fuck is Frank Corrado?
Probably some
AHLer.
Oh, Corrado, why? I told you not to bring your fucking mouth.
Eric Fair was the big salary dump.
Hey, Uncle June, you go down to the grass?
The Devils traded away P.A. Parenteau for a sixth-round pick.
Wait, who'd the Flyers get?
I hate you so much.
Oh, that's right, Copula.
So the Blue Jackets traded Kyle Quincy for Dalton Prout to the Devils.
Yeah, Fosted kid.
So the Devils got rid of one of their better defensemen. I guess they're in sell mode, so I guess we don't have to worry about them.
That's you were tough. In horrible sell mode on Excel with your back copy and paste.
The Kings got Iginla for a fourth-round pick, which, I mean, he's so old now. I'm surprised he even got a fourth-round pick.
Dylan McIlrath, though.
Oh, look at that. Thomas Vanek.
Yeah, Thomas...
Forces his way out of what was it?
Detroit.
No, and before.
The Wild or the Islanders? Islanders. He traded his way out of the Islanders to the Wild.
Thomas Vanek has.
Or no, it was Buffalo, because they traded Vanek for Molson, right? Or was it?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
It was Buffalo to Islanders. Like, Thomas Vanek has been so many trade rumors. Like, yeah, he could score goals, but like
he's been on like five teams in 4 years.
He's like he is the new age, like more talented Jim Dowd.
Yeah.
Well traveled.
How about the
for
Canadians?
Steve as well.
The Canadians going for Steve Ott.
Oh my God!
The Red Wings are in full sell.
They just
mode.
Want some grit for people to punch people in the face in case Carey Price gets flustered to take the spotlight off.
That's
them.
Pretty. The Canadians traded Desharnais to the Oilers for Brandon Davidson.
Cool.
And that was pretty much it. Like
nothing really blockbuster. I think the biggest trade was
the Shattenkirk
trade.
One. Yeah. Victor Stahlberg went to the Senators from the Hurricanes.
Okay.
The Hurricanes are also in sell mode. It looks like.
And the Canucks.
The Shattenkirk trade was what, Monday?
The Shattenkirk trade was Monday, and that was Shattenkirk and backup goalie Phoenix Copley, which, what a cool first name, to the Blues.
It's actually Phoenix, because
the from
o
the
was,
Blues
the o was after the E.
For Zach Sanford, who is apparently some highly touted prospect. Brad Malone, who I always mistake for Ryan Malone, who loves drugs. And then a 2017 first round and 2019 second.
Are we talking about the Canucks? How about them getting rid of Burrows and what's his name? Is it Hansel? What's his name? Hansel?
Yannick Hansen went to...
Hansel, it's not Hansel.
Yannick Hansen went to the Sharks for a pick in some forward...
Aren't they the same division?
Goldobin. Yeah, I think
so. Yeah.
Yeah, Pacific, right?
And then they got rid of Burrows for... Jonathan Dolan. So I think it's just like a salary dump, pretty much.
But, well, those players have been around. They're lifelong Canucks, and it's been Sedins and them, and now they have to start retooling and rebuilding.
Yeah, everybody was saying that the Canucks were going to try and trade the Sedins away.
Now, apparently they had a meeting with the GM and the owner, and they're part of the plans, and the Sedins were like, we're very excited about the future of this team. We're
is ridiculous, because like, if I was the owner of the Canucks, I'd be like, listen, you guys are old as shit. So, like,
you guys are old. Hashtag pack your shit.
Like, yeah, I feel like Vancouver is like Vancouver is still catering like to the Sedin twins when they should be like, listen, guys, it's you had your chance a bunch of years, and you blew it every single one. So get
you
the hell out.
You blew it with Luongo. You blew it with Miller.
Yeah, Alain Vigneault like led you guys to President's trophies, and you blew it. So like, get out, now. I hate you.
That's why you're not GM. You're not very good people. That's like
building around him. Also,
that was the people's skills of a quiet Asperger's kid.
Not at the trade deadline, but on Sunday, our favorite Delco native
Ryan
is now a member of the Minnesota Wild, and he already has, I think, like two goals in two games. Yeah.
Why? He just refuses to go away. That was a Hextall.
And everyone,
he poached him from the AHL, was like, hey, help the Phantoms.
So everyone's so mad that he's on another team.
Oh, they are so sour.
Yeah. When that was another thing, too. When the Flyers
re-signed. First, you might get rid of Raffle. Now you're going to get rid of Ryan White again? Jesus.
When the Flyers re-signed Pierre-Edward Belmar, somebody brought up Ryan White, and they're like, I can't believe that they didn't bring back Ryan White. Now they're re-signing Pierre-Edward Belmar. It's just like, they're
Believe. You got Dale Weiss, Zivit scored goals. Ryan White's been on two different teams, scoring all his goals. Yeah.
Oh, man. Just completely irrational.
And also on Sunday, the big
move. Irrational.
Bishop to the Kings.
Mouth rational.
Bishop to the Kings, not showing a lot of faith in Jonathan Quick, which is probably smart because he hasn't played all season. So
whatever.
It doesn't matter. Ben Bishop's going
to
be a Flyer in the offseason.
Remember, like at the beginning, at the beginning of the season, he tweaked his hamstring in like the first game, and he's been out since.
But then they already he's back though, right?
I gotta tell you, kids, if you don't play hockey, don't tweak your hamstring.
He missed that.
Just tweak your nipples.
I want to say he was out mostly that whole time.
Oh wow!
And Zatkoff kept him in there, and Budaj kept him in there. And then the Kings repaid Budaj by going, we don't trust you to get us to the playoffs, so you're out of here.
Sorry you had, like, three games of a complete shutout, but you suck.
Get moving.
Hashtag pack of shit.
Yeah, zouch.
And get to the airport.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything else, it's kind of, like, no big deal. The Devils sold off Fiddler, so, like, they're in sell mode.
I do think the expansion draft this year kind of hampered the trade deadline a little bit. I mean, trade deadline isn't always that big.
I don't think it hampered it. I think it led to a lot of these moves where you're like, oh, that's weird. Why would they trade that guy?
Yeah.
Like, the Sharks traded Tommy Wingles for a bunch of, like, picks and stuff.
That's a great name.
Because they
Tommy Wingles!
Well, yeah, but, like, look, so...
Oh, Wingles.
The Sharks traded Wingles because they didn't think they'd be able to keep him, and they got back Stortini Robinson in a seventh-round pick. Like, a lot of...
They traded for Zach Stortini?
Yeah, like...
This reminds me of Tortellini.
God.
Yeah, like, a lot of the moves...
He's awful.
A lot of the moves were... They seem like they were anticipation for, like, if we don't trade him, we're probably going to lose him. So we'll just get rid of him now.
Zach Stortini is basically, like, the poor man's Frank the Animal by Lois.
Nice. Good reference.
That was a great reference. All right, guys. So without further ado, your Lauren Hart waves of the week. I guess it's time we go over this. I guess I'll go first for this one. Lauren Hart waves of the week. I'm giving this one to the true MVP. Sports radio for being cunts. Now, listen, hear me out. I was having getting off of work. I was like a little stressed out about things.
Oh, God.
I was flicking through the radio stations, and of course, WIP is like on my back end of favorites because I listen to the games on there sometimes. And I happen to hear, and don't even start on this Flyers team. Like,
what time of the day was this?
This was like at 4 o'clock.
So it was like Reese?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's like Reese. You're talking about like the Sixers with Joel Embiid being out. Like, they don't have anybody to take care of their players. And the Phillies, this player, yada, yada. The Eagles have a high school football coach.
I listened to that.
Flyers get fleeced in a trade, and they're making dumb signings. I don't know what to do. And he starts going off about all this other shit and his conspiracy theories. And I just sat there and said no and turned off my radio for a second. And I realized, thank God for our show.
Yes,
so I guess it's really just waves to us and sports radio because they suck. We rule. Listen, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and shut the fuck up and stop calling in. I almost called in there. I was so pissed.
I listened to that for about they talked about that trade for like 5 or 10 minutes at like 5:30 or something like that, and the guy opened with, I don't know anything about hockey. I'm not a hockey guy, but the Flyers trade sucked. I don't know what they're doing. Just like. How are you going to intro saying you know nothing about hockey and then just continue to rip a team about a trade that you know nothing about?
I don't know about cars or anything, but I think the Camaro engine's a piece of shit.
Yeah, then
how are you going to trade straight? Got Drew sitting there doing nothing.
trying to put the team on his back, even though we're pretty sure he's injured. He's playing on a mediocre team right now. But besides the point, points out of a playoff spot.
Never going to hit his prime.
Yeah.
Team, it's
apparently
prime.
We missed it. We missed his prime.
We did.
Apparently.
His number production's down.
We'll see what happens next year. Jeff, your waves of the week.
Going to give it to the ultimate swan song, Steve Mason Shutout.
Yeah, that was pretty nice to see him do that. That was a huge fuck you to everybody last night.
Oh, yeah.
He played great.
Yeah, and you know what, though?
He couldn't play in the stadium series. He's like, I'm not letting a fucking goal get past me.
This is probably the first time.
It was like Helms Deep.
So on Twitter today, when they announced the Neuvirth signing, if you went on the Flyers Twitter timeline, it's the most I've ever seen with like, I can't believe the Flyers didn't sign the better goalie. They signed the guy who stinks. And I'm like, where the hell were all of you like 3 months ago? Like, what is this?
Yeah. Last year,
because Neuvirth lost a few with the Flyers, and realized, oh wait, it wasn't Mason's fault. The Flyers were
like,
losing.
Where were you when everybody was like, "Well, Mason stinks, and we need to trade him. We're gonna pin all our hopes on Neuvirth because he's a." And then the Flyers pin all their hopes on Neuvirth, and everyone's like, "We want Mason. This is why we can't have nice things."
I'm telling you, man, flip flop.
Yeah, they just don't like. They got what they wanted. Everybody got what they wanted.
I guess they just watch. They don't watch every game, so
You want to know why? You wanna know why?
Conspiracy, Illuminati, laid on the Doyle. The globalists are taking over.
They're all casuals.
Ah, filthy casuals.
That is true. But Steve Z, I don't think you're gonna come back. Why would you unless you have no other options? So that's a nice fungo to the Friars.
The Friars Club.
There's a front officer.
And we go into a comedic roast.
The Irving Friars.
You can't salvage your awful mush mouth with a Japanese impression.
Mushmouth.
Doyle. You're Rowan Hart Waves of the Week.
Rowan Hart Waves.
You must have choose.
I'm going to give it to Wayne Simmonds for scoring an almost hat trick and then not scoring a hat trick, and then everybody's hats got on the ice and they can't get them back now.
Those are nice hats, too.
Hats. Yeah, some of them are expensive.
Yeah, they're nice hats.
There was one guy, whatever that guy's name is on Twitter that threw the McDonald picture out his window.
Oh, Joey Pierogies.
Yeah, he had a video on his Twitter of him throwing his hat and just in all caps, I threw my hat for nothing.
Is that a Stone Philly fan with that? Speaking of which, is that Twitter you have up right there?
It is Twitter I have up.
That reminds me of something we haven't done in a while.
Which is?
It's time for
Shibadoo Bop Bop Tweet of the Week. Yeah!
That's right. You guessed it. You know what's coming. It's Tweet of the Week, everybody.
It never gets old.
Everybody loves Tweet of the Week, and this week we had some doozies. There was, honestly, with the trade deadline and so many great trolls out in epic fashion doing their thing, we decided on one former hockey player, Mike Commodore, at Commie22, not communist.
Mike Commodore, by the way, if you don't follow his Twitter, you're missing out because it's
And scroll
amazing.
Through his timeline the last few days with the trade deadline stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah. He was on a roll.
His trade deadline work was superb.
Tap Natch. So
I hope that he somehow becomes an insider now.
Go ahead. He got a hashtag pack your shit trending.
That's not any insider material. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe this show will. Like, yeah, this guy's got spunk. He's got chutzpah. We let him on a team.
He's got moxie. He drives for Uber in his spare time.
Ah, it's really great. Now, once you get him in the ring, he's going to square up with you and hit you right in the fucking kick.
Hey, can you come on a TSN tonight and do some analysis? Nah, I'm actually going to clock into Uber.
And drink a little bit of bourbon beforehand so I don't talk to dumb people and not be drunk for it.
Danny Heatley!
Allegedly. All right, so Mike Commodore, he had tweets the other day. Shane Doan, Arizona loves you, but 1,527 games with one team is enough. Hashtag pack your shit. And go on a playoff run.
Can we all just go through our favorite ones from him?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. You have another one?
Yeah, I got one. I got it.
Okay. It's Mike Commodore. We'll just go with the best of the tweet the tweets of the week.
The best of Mike Commodore. My favorite one was what I retweeted it yesterday. It says, my sources in Denver just confirmed the Avs are chartering a jumbo jet to Philly today. Everyone's hashtag shit is packed.
the whole avalanche. Do you have one, Jeff, or are we?
Oh, well, I had a different one that wasn't my Commodore, but let me try to find one because we have Radim Verbata, hashtag pack your shit and get out of the desert now. Fly your quiet ass to Boston.
I love the quiet ass. It's a great comedic detail.
The Sedin's one was good too. I forget what that is though.
Yeah, but he was on a tear, and it's hilarious. You should all follow him on Twitter and tell him we sent you, and maybe he'll talk to us.
Maybe. Who knows? All right, you got a song of the week, Jeff?
I do have a song of the week.
All right, it's episode 80. Lay it on me, stud.
Let me put the sound up here on the laptop.
This, it really was an 80s song.
80, Broad Street Bully Podcast. Coming up the live show at Westies and North Wildwood.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Dude, looking at that video, though, that is like
it's
the
so
typical
90s. It
is
hurts.
That even 90s?
I feel like Amy Grant was.
That's got to be like late 90s, or I mean late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah,
it's
got to
be on
it's...
that like cusp period where it's like the early 90s still has like people wearing shit they wore in the 80s.
Amy Grant released 1991.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's wrap our flannel shirts around our waist and tie it all.
It looked like the Bananarama Cruel Summer video for a second.
Love that song.
This Hot Summer Streets. And...
Baby
Sorry.
Baby is classified as a Christian/gospel genre.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know.
No, would never guessed.
All right, you ready for this one? All right, I have a concept in my head, but I didn't write the lyrics down because I feel like I feel like if I actually try and it sucks, I can't go back after Master of Puppets. And I just gotta like, just like act like I was like improvising, which I usually do anyway. And this one, without further ado, brought to you by. Growing up with this song with my mom, it reminds me of those times growing up and some good old episode 80 things. So shy,
like
a child. Eight in the morning. We're online, so you can listen at night. Broad Street Bully Podcast. It's episode 80. I'm gonna do it again because it just repeats. But
little sticks, huh?
I like to play the sticks. That's my favorite The Sticks song.
I really love The Sticks.
You know, The Sticks were the greatest rock bands of all time. They just didn't get good at rap because critics are critical assholes or cynical assholes.
Cynical assholes.
What it is? Yeah.
Anyway, good song.
What?
Clinical assholes?
No, I said critical. No,
critical.
Cynical. I said critical first. I switched to cynical.
I thought you said clinical assholes.
This is how we practice our prostate exams with these clinical assholes.
It's wiped down with some alcohol already.
Sign me up for that job. That'd be very pleasurable.
Pleasurable.
Anyway, I think we did it for today with the whole trade deadline thing.
I think we made good things happen today. Remember, guys, it's not the end of the world that Neuwirth and Peb were extended. And it's not the end of the world that the Flyers got a $5 million a year center for a team that needed a center. Fucking relax.
We have Belmar and Vandevelde and Couturier and Shannon Giroux. Tell me again we need a center.
Yeah.
You fucking dolt. Go back to your dumb podcast, idiot.
If you're going
to
sit there and tell me Nick Cousins...
That's actually my inner monologue. I tell myself every time I turn the mic on.
Idiot. I'm an idiot.
If you're going to fucking idiot.
If you're going to sit there and tell me that Nick Cousins was your answer at a second line center, then bury your head in the sand.
You might be a jackass.
Yeah.
All right, so upcoming games real quick. We'll go through this. Thursday, as in tonight, Florida and Flyers. Flyers win this. They're right in the swing of things. We have the Capitals in Washington on Saturday at 7:30. Thank God it's not a day game. Might have a chance there. Then Tuesday, we play in Buffalo, and then we come. Then we'll be back talking to you before they play Toronto, who's another team we're chasing. So we got some teams.
Toronto.
We're going to be chasing the playoffs coming up to play. And then, we have one more Wednesday night show coming in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. And
March 15th.
Shirts are
in
about to be ordered. So, also check out Joe Walker's article, more to come with him. We'll talk more about it next week. And you guys got anything else?
Nope.
Congrats, Jordan Wheel, on your first NHL goal.
Yep.
Congrats to the Flyers for not doing anything too stupid with the
trade
deadline.
Can't wait to see Philpola play tomorrow.
Congrats to the Penguins for filling up an old defenseman because all their guys are hurt, but they'll still probably make a run at the Cup. Fuck. One day that'll be us. Guys, this has been Drew Pavsky.
Wait, before we end,
yes.
I wonder if, so how Hextall retained 4.7 of Streit's salary. I wonder if if Tampa Bay has to.
Tampa Bay took 50%, by the way, of his salary, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
They must have been really desperate just to get rid of this Filpula guy so they don't have to protect people.
And also, like, a lot of people were assuming that, like, the Flyers didn't want to deal directly with the Penguins because we hate the Penguins, but I feel like Hextall really wanted to get Filpula.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. So it worked out both for everybody involved.
Only time will tell.
And I feel like he probably negotiated. I feel like they knew, like, he's like, look, I'm going to deal this guy right to Pittsburgh, but I'm going to make this a 7th round conditional pick that I have to trade into another team. That way you get it.
Yeah. And I bet the text doll was like 4.7 is like, they'll never go for it.
What if he grabbed his arm and just put it behind him? Say uncle. Say deal. Deal, uncle. Ah, that's good.
So anyway, guys, just give it a little. Let it breathe.
It doesn't matter, though, because Hextall is still a terrible GM,
remember,
even though he's great at trading.
Remember, it's the long game.
We got about a month and a little bit here till the playoffs start, so we got time. We got too much time on our hands. Nowhere sticks. Great. We'll be back next week, episode 81. Go Flyers, and enjoy.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter @ the BSB Podcast.